You know, there's a couple of them, and I think one of the reasons we didn't think of it for one thing, but Glenn's out there done a couple of them. There's Glenn's presentation from OQRS is recorded, and you can see it there if you want to. And some beautiful photography. No Deer is a friend on Facebook, and I just see his photography, and he is just amazing. And Craig had some of his photography in his presentation.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks, Mike. John, ILY, do you have anything new, or do we?
Okay. Yes. One thing. Well, two things. Thanks to Mike W9MK coming out here on this coming Tuesday to finish up my rotor issues, which we didn't finish up last time. But I do want to make an announcement, which I had overlooked before. The King of the Hill. The King of the Hill for this quarter is, WB9Z, our friend Jerry down south, 1,190 Qs. Absolutely amazing. So
what was the, which kind, that was the IRU, right?
No. This was NAQP sideband. This was the
IRU. Okay.
Yeah. So it was actually Ralph was just a couple of cues ahead of him, but Ralph won last month.
So he
can't do it 2 months in a row. So Jerry's
that's how I won.
King of the Hill.
Awesome. Did you let him know that?
No, not yet. This is the official announcement right now.
Good. Cool. All right. So did you get a new rotator, John?
No, not yet. We want Mike's going to come out here and give me a hand getting this one lined up on Tuesday. I think I'm going to get the M squared rotor with a green Heron controller.
So you're going to try to realign what you have to get that working.
Yeah.
Better.
Well, I just want to
get at some point.
Right. And
at some point,
apparently the green Heron will fit in the tower if you reverse the tower plate. You turn it upside down.
Okay.
It gives it a little bit more space. So it'll take a little bit of doing, and then it has to be rewired and so on. So anyway, I think that's what we're going to be doing. But we want to get this Ham 4 going. There's a very limited number of approved rotors for this particular tower. In their documentation, they have a whole list of them, some of which are very, very old. And some of which are very, they just aren't big enough to handle the load. But the M squared is, I've forgotten. Oh, M squared will handle 35 square feet of wind load.
Oh, wow. That's a lot bigger than the
Ham 4. Well, the Ham 4 will handle 15, and I've got 12 and a half. So
that's pretty close margin then.
It really is. Too close. Yeah. Too close. So anyway, that's the plan.
All right. Good luck then, John, with that outing. Okay, thanks. Larry, K9ARZ with the SP200 behind you.
Yeah, that's my son set up back there. Not much going on here radio-wise anyway. I'm preparing to take my TA-53 down and replace it with the TA-33 because the 53 has been affected greatly by the weather over the years. So it needs to be taken down and completely rebuilt.
That's a five element then, the 53?
It's a four element, but three active elements on everything from 20 through 10, including the wark.
Oh, nice.
So it's a very nice little beam and it works well, but when it works, but now it's not working. Right. So it's coming down. Yeah. And meantime, I'll just throw a TA-33 up. So I'm getting ready for that, getting all the cables ready and whatnot. I haven't been on the air much because of the antenna problems. So
yeah, that'll do it.
That's it from this end. And again, thanks for inviting the NIDXA crew to your meetings. I really enjoy this.
Yeah, they have much better programs than we do. Well, I hate to do this, but we're going to interrupt Jerry's dinner. K9PY, you got anything to say?
Yeah, thanks. You're right, I am eating dinner. Hope it wasn't too noisy. I guess two things. One is I got my 6 meter Japan QSO confirmed on 6 meters. So I was real pleased about that through LOW. Wow. That was the first Japan I ever worked on 6 meters. Which gives me like 27 countries, I think, now on 6 meters. So
awesome.
I feel pretty good about that. The other thing is I worked the, you know, the sideband contest this weekend, and actually it was really good. I was real surprised at how open 10 and 15 were. You know, low noise level and quite a bit of stations on. So that was kind of fun. The only thing is I ran into a new problem. I've got a MFJ voice keyer, the 434B. And I've had this thing for probably 4 years now. Never had a problem with it, but now when I try and, you know, I use it for the memory keying, obviously voice, but when I use my microphone into it, it just has terrible static and noise and everything. I plug my microphone, which is a Heil HM10, into the K3, sounds perfectly fine. So I don't think it's the microphone. And if I just use the MFJ voice keyer directly into the K3 and push the memory, the audio sounds perfectly fine. So the only problem is when I try and use the mic through the MFJ unit, that it has all kinds of noise and static. The audio sounds terrible. So it kind of messed me up on the contest there. I wasn't able to do any CQing because, you know, I really couldn't talk to anybody except what I had recorded into the voice gear. So otherwise, I probably would have come close to our contest guru, W9ILY. So.
You could have won. You probably could have won it, Jerry.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm sure.
Blame it on MFJ.
I did work WV9Z on 80 meters in that contest this past
year. Yeah.
So, anyway, if anybody has any ideas about that voice peer or what might be the problem or whatever, like I said, I don't think it's the microphone, because the microphone works fine plugged directly into the K3, but not through the MFJ.
But how do you record messages into the MFJ through the same port? That
it's got a little microphone on the front of it.
Oh,
you can use. Yeah.
So when you use your microphone to the wired input, you get all the distortion. So
right.
I wonder if it's an impedance problem, or if it's an electric a microphone. Maybe it's not getting the bias voltage properly from that connector. You know, call MFJ.
Yeah.
What radio are you using it with, Jerry?
K3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
K3s
usually they're a little, they're not great for sideband. That's probably, you know, that's a different side issue, but just.
Yeah.
Well, the mic works fine on the radio, though. So
I've used this thing for like 4 years and never had a problem, and all of a sudden I got this issue. So I don't know what.
Oh, so it used to work and now it doesn't.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the voice gear is really nice. I mean, it's great for content. Yeah. But I don't know. So anyway, that's what we're trying to resolve. So
he's got to upgrade to the K4.
When they start shipping them, I will.
Have they started shipping those yet? Or
no?
No. Well, it's been like 2 years.
I know. This COVID thing has really put them behind.
That's a good excuse when your engineering is behind.
Hey, so the ICOM 7300 is about $1,000, and it's got voice memory, voice keyer built in the darn thing. You're telling me a K3 for like $3,000 doesn't have that feature in there?
Yeah, you got to buy a separate board for a voice keyer in the K3.
Ah, okay. What do they want for the board?
I really don't know, Eric. I never priced it out.
All right. Well, Jerry, good luck with that.
All right. Good seeing everybody again. When you guys have the net on the repeater, I can't hit that repeater. So this is the only time I can get in is when we do the Zoom meeting.
So, Jerry, what are you having for dinner there?
My lovely wife brought me pizza and salad.
Nice. Tell Brenda hi for us.
Thanks.
We miss her bingo. Right.
Brownies? No brownies?
No brownies.
No brownies tonight, no. She made a better...
I want to know what pizza joint it's from.
Boxes.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
So.
Okay, let's move on. John Rager, K9DRS. In the tropics, they're down in the Caribbean somewhere.
Well, I'd like to be, for sure. Greetings, everybody. And the last couple of months have been rather interesting. I've been really involved with helping the wife doing stuff on the estates of both of our mothers. So we've got, whether it be estate sales or disposing of the home or whatnot, that's been a real crazy distraction. Haven't been on the air much at all. In the end of July, I did some major antenna work for about 2 weeks or almost 2 weeks. Had some equipment here so I could work on repairing some bent elements and straighten them up. I found I had an issue with the rotor, so as long as I had the equipment, I got it quickly ordered and put a new rotor in, and it's working fine. I had the elements pointing into the wind for the derecho that came through. No problem on the big antenna, except the one at the top that was a VHF-UHF moved 90 degrees. So that's going to stay that way till the next time the tower comes down, or in a few years, because I've got no way to get up there and adjust that. I just got to know that if I'm using VHF, UHF, I'm 90 degrees off. I'd had no AC power for 48 hours, but not nearly as long as Mike Cannon AJ, who had no power for probably a good week. So we had our generators running and provided everything we had here to keep things going. One thing I did get was my LOTW up to date. I hadn't logged in that in probably a good over a year or thereabouts. In fact, I now logged in the W9C contact I made in 2019. So I better apply for that certificate. Now that, that's how long it's been since they had LOTW updated.
My color printer's broke, John. You're out of luck.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll figure something out. I've got all the hardware to get FT8 working. I just need to get the time to do it. So that's one of the things we're looking at. And other than that, staying interested, I spent a lot of time either the day of the QSO virtual event, and I liked that. And then the things I didn't catch, I caught on replay. So it was kind of fascinating, those all those short seminars. And that's what's happening here.
Okay, John, thank you so much. I missed all that. I was busy, but we'll keep moving here. Mike, K9AJ. Hello. Unmute.
You sound like a conductor. Yeah,
there,
I am.
There you are.
Hey, good evening. Well, yeah, we lost power for 6 days.
Hi, Sue.
Yeah, she's there. And we're still kind of cleaning up debris. Most of the tree stuff and broken limbs and things like that are cleaned up. I still got a aluminum tower that I got to take down, but it's not going anywhere. It's kind of resting in the fork of a tree about 80 feet up. So, it'll come. It's not going anywhere. It's safe, and we have lots of time. And we'll wait till the tower guys are caught up and maybe quote me a lower price to take it down.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're playing garden. We turned 20 pounds of garden tomatoes into Bloody Mary mix this last couple of days. We're going to pull some not turnips, but beets tomorrow and cook those up. So we're busy, not on the radio very much, but when I hear the reports about the early morning 20 and 17 meters, I'm really interested. So we'll get back on pretty soon.
We got some watermelons growing. They're about the size of 16 inch softballs now, but they're not quite ripe enough. They got a long way to go. So
we're staying safe. We don't go out that much, and we're hanging in there.
Okay, Mike.
Watermelon vodka is good.
What's that?
Watermelon and vodka is good.
Yeah, you know, we used to, when we had picnics, we would cut a hole in the top of the watermelon, stick the fifth of vodka into the top, and let it drain into the watermelon overnight. And the bottle was empty in the morning, so that watermelon was full of a fifth of vodka. That was back in the day.
Company
picnics, you know. Yeah. So, not anymore. So anyway. Okay, thanks, Mike.
Okay.
Eric, K9GY, you're down in Foreland.
Yeah, I'm like the DX of the club meeting here.
You're in the Army now.
Yeah, that's right. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. So we transitioned out here to far eastern Virginia. We're about 3 hours south of D.C. So it was fortunate, the first full weekend I had out here, one of the local guides that I knew from before that's about an hour north of me, he's right on Chesapeake Bay. So I went over there and operated WAECW and made 667 contacts for about 321K points. Most of it, 400 or two or so were 20.
Yeah.
And so it was a lot of fun. It's amazing. The Europe's I got a lot louder out here on the East Coast, so gotta enjoy that when you can. It looks like maybe top 40 in North America, and maybe I squeaked into the top 30 in the USA based on 3830. But there's always some more people that submit scores, so that'll probably drop down. Did want to mention that tomorrow night is a 6 meter sprint from 2300 till, 2300 tomorrow until 03. And you can use FTA because there's nothing that says it's limited by, I thought there was something that said you could only use sideband and CW, but I looked at the rules, so. I guess there's going to be
schedule is okay.
Yeah, so all you 6 meter FT8 people should get on. And the only other thing is, now that I'm out here, it's East Coast time, so we're on Eastern time. So instead of 7:30, it's 8:30. So I've been catching myself yawning. And
did you bring your family out there too, or are you by yourself?
No. She, wife stayed back. She's still working. She's the principal over there in 98th and 89th and Commercial. So
you ready?
Whoa.
Yeah, so I'll look at the DX Engineering catalog in case I win that raffle, so we'll see.
I'll come in with Alex when it's time.
So, but other than that, it's pretty humid out here. Humidity is like 90% or over.
Wow.
And we're so close
now, you
to water.
You used to there was a guy in Racine, I think, that moved out there, contest station.
Yeah, Paul.
And you used to go out there and operate there too.
Yeah,
right?
Paul, K4JA. So yeah, he moved to Kentucky now. He's in Dry, if you look it up, he's in Dry Ridge, Kentucky, kind of like north central Kentucky.
But you used to operate from the East Coast in those days, right?
Oh, yeah. He had
a contest station.
Yeah, it stacked antennas on 40, 20, 15, and 10. And then he had a malt tower that had a Christmas tree type thing. And then on the 80 meters, he ended up near the end, we had a 9-circle, 8-circle, whatever you want to call
it. Oh, geez. Wow.
Yeah, and then 160, we had a full-sized vertical. So, it was an awesome station, and it was a great experience. Over the time there.
That was like 20 years ago, no?
It was about like 15 years ago, I
15
think.
Years 16 ago.
16
yeah.
years ago, he tore it down. Yeah, so, it's been a time flies when you're having fun. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right, Eric. Well, good luck out there.
Yeah, and, thanks.
I don't know if, thanks for being there. So,
yeah, thanks.
John Reisner, Boy, I haven't seen you in a long time. I remember when we were doing field day out at K9 TPs back 20 years ago in the Airstream trailer. Do you remember that? W09S. Oh, your audio is still muted. Sorry, John. Can you reach up there and unmute your microphone?
There we go.
There you go.
That field day operation was great fun. I really, really appreciated that. So, yeah, this is my first time tuning into this joint meeting, Metra. Nice to meet all the new people.
Now, you're located in Chicago, right?
Yeah, Hyde Park.
Hyde Park, okay. What do you have for antennas in the middle of the city?
A sloping 40-meter dipole and an R6000 Cushcraft vertical that does 10, does 20 and on up. It'll do 6 meters too. So actually with that operating QRP, I think I've actually gotten a couple of certificates.
Really? Well, I hear you in all the, a lot of the contests. And are you living like in a three flat or a single family?
No, it's a house. Full house. I get the whole backyard.
So it's mounted on the ground and everything. Yeah.
But it's amazing what you can do with a 40-meter dipole, 35 feet above the, the ground. Yeah. That's only one end. The other end is about 10 feet down.
Wow. I have a stepper vertical out in the trees, and that it's amazing, you know, what I can do with that. It's just you know, of course you need power too, but to be heard, but it still works. As Glenn Johnson's program on, I didn't see it, but the title of it, well, the program was, is 3 dB worth a divorce?
Yes, I've heard that one, yes.
I have not seen it, but I can imagine, you know, is it a vertical versus, you know, the 80-foot tower with, you know, $50,000 worth of gear? Is that, you know, so anyway, my vertical works okay. But anyway, okay, great. Well, it's good to see you, John.
Well, good to be here. I'm going to check out very soon, though, for supper.
Okay, we'll have a good supper.
Yeah, thanks.
Tim, WD9DZV. Haven't seen you in ages.
Well, maybe you're lucky. What can thanks. I tell you? Well, I mean, it looks like
thanks for checking in.
What's that?
I said, thanks for checking in.
Yeah, very funny, wise guy. Everybody looks like they're behaving, misbehaving as usual. Not too much new here and exciting, you know. Didn't have any problems with the storm, but my daughter, who lives a couple miles away, stayed with us for her and her husband and the grandkids for about, I think it was 5 days before they got their power back.
Oh, my. Wow.
Oh, yeah, I know. It was something else. It was good, though. You know, they were downstairs in the basement. I got a finished basement and all that stuff. So,
yeah.
With all the virus stuff going on in that, you know, they got, so. But, no, other than that, not too much else going on. Doing a couple of motorcycle rides, but not very far, of course. And, still reloading my own ammo. And that's about it. You know, nothing, not much else going on with what's going on. Back to you.
So I would, you know, my power went out the day after on Tuesday, and it was like at 7 o'clock at night it went out, and I called ComEd and they said, well, it would be on the next morning at 6 a.m. So 6 a.m. came and went. That was Wednesday morning. And then they said, well, it'll be on Saturday morning at 6 a.m. So I took all the food out. I sent it over to Laura's, and I talked to my daughter. She lives a couple miles away. I was going to stay with her and just kind of regrouped and stuff. And then I had a bunch of work to do, and I was on my way back to go to my house to pick up some things to go to my daughter's. And my neighbor calls and said, this is like after 25 hours, he goes, the power's back on. The power's back on. So I went back home and turned the air conditioner on and stayed. So I didn't miss a beat. I didn't miss any nights in my own home. So
it's time to get one of those generators, huh?
Well, I have one, but it's at my son-in-law's house up in Racine. So it's doing
good time, good there. Oh, man, I'm telling you, always an adventure.
Yep. So we're going to move on to Barry, home of the hits. How you doing, Barry? You got to unmute. That's a pretty fancy chair you're sitting in there. It's pretty plush.
Yeah, it's a $75 chair my wife bought for me about 20 years ago at Penny's, I think, in Orland Park. Just walking into the shack. It was broken, and all that was wrong with it was the plug was broken off the back. So we got that. It's the best chair I've ever had, leather chair. I don't know if you can hear me better. I'm in the radio room. I heard everybody.
Near the router.
Yeah, where the router is. The power thing was the real problem here. We were the generator was on for 70 hours.
Wow.
The Generac, and I had all my grandkids here from Nebraska and locally. So we had 6 grandkids here. They didn't know the power was out, but I realized one thing about grandkids, the only thing they care about is high-speed internet.
Yes. So
it was a real problem for them that I just had 2 hotspots, and they were all sucking the video right down, and bandwidth was hopeless, and they just kept complaining. But they didn't even realize that the power was out in the house, but we had the Generac on. They didn't even know the difference. So I took a lot of damage here on the antenna system. Going all the way from my 40-meter inverted Vs, but the biggest damage was on the big antenna on the tower. The antennas are off by about 100 degrees, and it damaged 4 of the cables. So I can't go up there anymore. I've been trying to get somebody to come just tighten the bolts down on the rotor. You know, my tower comes down to 20 feet, and there's a maintenance platform, but I've called, like, tons of guys. And they're all busy. I mean, I'm willing to pay, but I've got 4 cables that are damaged, and the THL
are they physically damaged or just like?
I think the what happened is the cables pulled down and it ripped the outer conductor. So I've started cleaning the cables up at the bottom, but my wife had to take me to the hospital on the Tuesday that the kids were here. I kept falling over, and I didn't know what was wrong with me.
You got dizzy?
Yeah. I kept falling over, and it turns out I had like some kind of vertigo. So I can't even go up into the maintenance platform. I mean, I can't do that. I think I'm getting dizzy. Well, so my days of climbing are over. But the tower comes down to 20 feet, and I have a huge maintenance platform. I just have to pay somebody to go up and just tighten the bolts and change a couple of cables. But I'm pretty much down my 2 meters, my TH11, the 6 meter, and I think the 220 is not working. John told me what to do to check them, but I went to the bottom, and there's some problems with the cable. So I got new cables. So,
but it's probably just a connector problem up at the antenna.
Yeah, well, I don't know what it is, but the Viswar on the TH11 is pretty high. Yeah. It's about 2 to 1. So it's either ground's off or one of the elements got screwed up. I don't know. But it's pretty disappointing. But I used to be able to go up and down the tower 10 times a day, but I can't do it anymore. I haven't been able to do it in the last couple of years. I've got arthritis in my lower back and my hands. So I'm pretty much, my days are over for that. Other than that, I'm breathing. You know, I'm recuperating from the cleaning up the mess and the twigs and everything in the backyard. But it was a rough week last week for everybody, I think.
Yeah, it sure was.
Yeah. So I'm glad everybody's okay, and we're hanging in there. It's interesting now that I'm not working anymore. I got time to play, but I was out in the sun the last 2 days just cleaning up the cables. And I was pretty exhausted. I lost 8 pounds just being in the sun and sweating. And I stopped today. I can't do it anymore. So I got the cables cleaned up and ready to go up when one of the tower guys calls me back. But it doesn't look promising.
Well, hopefully before the fall that you'll get some help on that.
Yeah.
Contest season. So.
Yeah. It's not that hard. It's just a matter of going up 20 feet. You know, it's just no one's available. It's just incredible. The guy that did NC9 Keys Tower, obviously he hurt himself, and he used to do all my work. He was pretty reasonable, you know, but he's not available. So.
Oh, he hurt himself? Really?
Yeah, he hurt himself. He hurt his back doing some house. He does rehabs on houses too. He's a preacher guy. A nice guy, and he helped me out a couple of times, and he just can't do it either. So that's who I am. I'm not. You won't hear me on the air that much. That's
all right,
it.
Barry.
All right.
Good luck. Thanks.
Good night.
I think we have one last check-in. Bill, W9ZJ. I don't see your face, but I see you're logged in. Bill, can you unmute your audio there?
Yeah,
there
how about
you are.
Can you hear me now, Jim?
Yep, you're good.
Good. Okay.
We got you.
First, I don't have a camera. Actually, I bought one, but it doesn't work. And I've got it plugged in. I don't know why it doesn't work. Haven't had the time to troubleshoot that yet. As far as my activities are concerned, I'm still looking for some of those elusive countries, about the last 10 or so that I need on sideband and CW. And of course, North Korea, forget about it. I agree with Mike about 20 meters in the morning has been good on FT8. I've been spending some time there and did attend a couple of the seminars there with QSO today on the Flex. And so I've been spending most of my time on FT8. We had a lightning strike here that I think we were, I don't know whether my grounding is good or whether I got a light strike, but a few minor things died within the household wiring. The most notable, my 1000 MP was on 160. And now it no longer receives there, but all of the other bands are good.
Oh, wow.
I've taken it apart and looked at it, and there's a nice shield over all of those switching pin diodes that switch the bands. And I don't think I want to monkey with that. I'd rather see if I could find another board someplace and do a substitute and then try and repair the old one, because I'm you know, the radio mostly works, so I don't want to destroy it. So so that doesn't work at all. On the storms we had, I have a small generator, and we used it for a couple of days. And the only other comment I'd like to make is that if you ever wanted to see what happens to your noise level, if you do have a situation where power has gone out, hook up your generator to your radio and see what happened to your noise level. You would be amazed. At least I was here. Now, maybe somebody like John Ily out in the country, maybe it wouldn't make much difference, but it makes a probably, I'd say, maybe about a 10 dB difference. So it's a pretty big difference. You know, it's kind of like...
So there's a lot more noise with the generator.
Without it.
Oh.
No, what I'm saying is all the neighborhood was dead.
Oh, I see. Everybody, yeah, okay.
Everything around me was out. I was the only one
I see.
That was running.
Yeah. Hooking up to a battery. Yeah. You know, hey, Bill, do you know, I don't know, somebody in the group might know this, but Jack, WNNFVP, used to do repairs radios. I heard somewhere he retired. Does anybody know about his status? About Jack?
He retired, so you have to beg him. If you bring it to him, he may look at it, but he's retired, basically.
Yeah, Bill, there's a guy in New Lenox, I think he lives. He's got a lab down in his basement, and he's repaired stuff. So he might, you know, he might, if you want his contact info, I could forward it to you. He may, if you beg him, like Barry said, he might do something for you. So.
It's worth a try. The other places I've heard... one of the NIDXI DXA guys sent a radio away to, I think the guy's in Fort Wayne. And no, he wasn't in Fort Wayne. He was someplace else, but it was a long distance. And yeah. So I'm kind of like, you know, the 1000 MP is a big, heavy radio. And, you know, you might wind up sending it down there and it comes back. It was fixed, but no longer works because of a shipping damage. So.
Sure.
Better off to stick with what you got.
Yeah.
So.
Jack's mostly that he do stuff for local people, but Barry's right. He's trying to cut it back. He sold some of his big test equipment he's taken, and you know, he really got tired of shipping and handling all the big heavy radios. But the last time I took him over there, I promised that I would carry it all the way down into his shop. And he said yes, but
I know I was there with maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and he probably had 30 radios piled up around his tech bench. So
yeah, he did.
He's got a big he had a big backlog then. So,
well, given the way mine works, I think I could probably fix it myself. But with the shield right over all the pin diode switching in there, I'm afraid if I mess up something with taking the shield off of it, and then destroy the radio so it doesn't work at all, I really haven't gained much.
Well, his, you know, you might look him up on QRZ. I can send you his contact info, but it's Whiskey Alpha 9 Fox Victor Papa.
Okay, yeah, it's worth a try.
He's actually
his email is up there too. So,
and anyway, maybe if I tell him what it, you know, pretty much what it is with the rest of the bands working, you know,
yeah, he might be able to give you some pointers. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good. Sounds good.
So okay, Bill. Good to hear from you. Alrighty. Last but not least, John, our host, K9EL. What you got going?
Hi. Good evening. I apologize, but I forgot to start the recording button until we were already underway. But so John and Jim, you guys, please remind me next time to start the record button.
Okay.
And I will put the recording up on a website, and then send the link out to everyone, just in case you want to hear all the exciting news everyone said.
Yes.
Just to echo, as a few have, about what Mike, W9MK, said, that also applies to 30 meters in the morning. It's been just some incredible propagation to Asia on 20 and 30 meters in the morning. Get on 30 meters about 7 a.m. local. You'll be flabbergasted what you can work on a 30-meter FT8. As most of you know, I'm quite interested in the DX Marathon. And pleased to announce that I worked a new DX Marathon country yesterday. I worked at Tahiti, Fox Ocean.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not, that was a new one for this year. And on CW. You might remember that mode. It was on CW. Also worked the OJ Zero on CW. But did not work the...
It's a revolution.
Echo 5-1 Whiskey Lima, who is the only active ham from North Cooks, has returned home. He was stuck in New Zealand up until a week ago because of COVID, but he finally made it home. He's been very active. So if you need North Cook, look for Echo 5-1 Whiskey Lima. He's been active on 20-meter FT8 and on 20-meter FT4. Let's see. I think that's about it for the DX news. Unfortunately, no DX expeditions coming up. So... I think all of us have been doing a little bit more contesting, and just wish there was some more DX to report. But right now, it doesn't look like it. So,
hey, Jim, what's the update on that new WSJT thing or whatever? I saw your message. I didn't read the details, but
no, there's a K1JT in the group. They're working on some new modes. It's have not been officially released yet. It's called FST4. And some of the transmissions are like 30 minutes long. So if you want to talk about a sleeper, each transmission 30 minutes.
Wow.
Well, I thought maybe they were making FT4 faster, but the S stands for slow?
But the incredible thing is if you use that mode, it goes down to -45 signal to noise ratio.
Oh, okay.
-40.
That's why it takes a half an hour.
Yeah, but can you imagine, you know, adding 20 dB to FT8?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you could work DXCC in 6 meters in 1 year.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But
thanks.
It'll be interesting to see, but no, there's nothing faster. Everything is slow. So I don't know. Also, some of you may know that the IARU societies have taken up the mantle to work on a new band plan for digital. As we tune across the band, like on 30 meters from 10.1 to 10.13, you'll hear one or two CW signals. Then you get to 10.136.
It's jammed right now. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I'm monitoring 20-meter FT8 in the background here, and each time is almost a whole full screen.
Yeah, on 30,
clearly,
same, yeah.
Clearly, the whole of 20 meters has shrunk to one 2.5 kilohertz window, so something needs to be done about that. But the good news is that the regional societies are actually taking that up, and I figure within 5 or 10 years they should have a good recommendation for us. And then the AWR will have to approve it. And then yeah. They'll have board meetings, and then they won't be able to decide what.
We'll all be
and
dead.
By that time, FT8 will be dead, and there'll be some new modes. But anyway.
Hey, John. So when's your plan for hitting Florida there? Like October, November? All
right, say again.
What's your plans for hitting Florida? Is it October, November?
Me? No, I don't go to Florida until my wife enjoys Christmas here at home with my son and granddaughter. So we'll go right after Christmas. We'll head to Florida.
Oh, okay.
So no, we'll be here a while just to annoy you guys. Although I can still I can still host the meeting in Florida, no problem. So. Florida.
Cool. Thank you, John. Any other comments from anybody in the group?
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
I got a question for Eric. Eric, how long are you going to be there protecting our country?
This is week 3, and I got till September of next year. So wow. In total, next about 13 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you get to go home, like in visits for weekends or –
Yeah, well, there's a break in the status that I'm at. So I get Labor Day weekend, I'll come home, and then probably about every 2 months or so come home for a long weekend. Yeah,
they don't.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself because after I accepted this, probably about a month and a half, maybe 2 months or so, the people that I was with in Afghanistan sent me an email, say, hey, we got a spot in Kuwait. We need somebody in August for a year. And I said, oh, darn, I already accepted this one. So I guess I would have rather been in Kuwait, but this is where I'm at.
Oh, wow. Well, good luck there. That's a long
thanks.
Time. I thought generals got a lot more time off than that.
Yeah, well, I guess the first few weeks here, the outgoing command sergeant major is leaving this week, and the incoming one doesn't come in until October 1st. So I get to be the interim command sergeant major for the G357.
Well, good.
Is that, what is your rank, Eric? What's your official rank?
Sergeant major.
Okay.
So, yeah. So the command sergeant major, he supports a 2-star billet, but the guy is a 1-star. He's going to get promoted. Got a nice big office.
Where are you working from? Your dorm, your barrack, or whatever?
No, right now, yeah, I've got an apartment off post.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, I work. You actually go into the office for this one?
Yeah, good.
Eric, what branch of the service is that?
Army.
Very good. Okay.
Have you ever done any work down in San Antonio at Fort Sam?
No, we went there on vacation and saw the Alamo and the Riverwalk, but no.
Yeah, my daughter was working down there for 4 years. And
was she a medical? It was a medical.
Yeah, thing. She's a doc, so she was
working. Oh, that explains it. Yeah.
But
it's supposed to be nice down there. Texas is nice. Texas likes the military, that's why.
Yeah.
Well, they got a lot of places. They got Fort Hood, Fort Sam.
Right.
There's a lot of military. It lacks an Air Force. Yeah. There's a lot of military in Texas. Sure. So. A lot of tax dollars.
Yep. All right. Anybody else have any comments before we look to motion to close the meeting? Anybody else? All right. Well, thanks, everybody. It's a good turnout. And We don't really have official programs, but it's nice to chat with everybody, go around table here and see what everybody's up to. And thanks for NIDXA for having nice programs that share with us. And thanks, Mike, for doing that. Mike LSH says, good night. I didn't get the whole thing there, but thanks for checking in, Mike and LSH. And that's about it. So I would like to hear a motion to close the meeting.
K9PY, Will.
Okay.
Second.
Mel, second. John, go ahead. John's going to third it. So, okay. 73. Yeah. 73, everybody.
See you guys. Good take care.
Care. Jim.
Thank you guys.
Have a good
take
one.
Care. Good night.
Jim, did you
good
want
night, everybody?
Jim, did you want to talk
what's
about
that?
Remote? Did you want to talk about hooking up internet with hotspots?
Ralph. Yeah, you know. Yeah, we could stay on here.
If you got time.
I do. I'm working on a project out in Michigan. And I found this device. It's called Wilson Electronics. It's called WeBoost. And they make cell phone power boosters. They consist of an outside Yagi antenna that's directional. And then you can, it hooks to an amplifier. And then you have indoor antennas. You can split it and have multiple antennas that you can distribute cell. And then I'm working with a device called trying to think of the name of it. It's a cell modem. So it's got the cell antennas and then it's got Wi-Fi antennas. And it also has a 4-port Ethernet switch built in. And so it enables you to go Wi-Fi into the cell network. Now, what I've got to find is an unlimited data plan, because right now the closest tower is an AT&T about a mile away. But AT&T's plans are super expensive. The client they bought 150 acres up in Buchanan, Michigan, and they're out in the middle of nowhere, and they spend weekends there. So, but they've already, I got a 10 gigabyte plan, and they've already gone through about half of it in like 3 days. So.
Oh yeah, well, I'm in the same kind of thing, but their provider Sprint is AT&T.
Yeah.
And I know they've got external antennas. I'm on Sprint, which just merged with T-Mobile. And I'm 3.1 miles from the cell tower, and I can see it from in front of the shack, the blinking light on it, and I'm in a fringe area. And so what we've been using the last couple of years is hotspots.
Right.
And then I use a Wi-Fi extender, because that lets me plug in wired Ethernet. And then I go to this switch, and
you know, look up. It's called what the heck is it called? I can't. Well, it's if you look up, Capcell is the name. LiftMaster Cell is the product called Capcell.
Okay.
CAPCELL, but it's actually made by a Canadian company. Let me see if I can find the name of it, because in fact I just ordered one today. I found the actual.
Did you have to tell AT&T, hey, I'd like to add this device to your network?
What's that, Ralph?
Do you have to tell AT&T that, hey, I want to add this device to your cell phone network?
Well, I just bought an AT&T SIM card and plugged it in. But then, there, let me find this, because they just shipped it today. I ordered it. And the funny thing is, my supply house sells this thing for $600, this Wi-Fi cell modem. And then I found LiftMaster sells the same thing for $450. Well, now I found the actual supplier and manufacturer, and they're selling it for $380. Let me find it here. It's right. It's called MoFi, M-O-F-I, MoFi Network. If you look them up, I found it for $287, the same unit.
That's the same. That's what I was talking about too. But Sprint merged with T-Mobile. So if I had happened to be T-Mobile, and I don't even know if they have a tower out here in the country, the lady told me at their tech support said some T-Mobile customers that were marginal they let him use this MoFi thing. And I've been spending time reading about it because it might be my solution. So if you were an existing marginal T-Mobile customer, they would let you use this, and the reviews on it are great. Well, I'm a Sprint guy, and she said because of their merger, they're not ready yet as being Sprint, and I may not have a T-Mobile site out here. And what they're really doing is taking T-Mobile's infrastructure and using that for Sprint. So I've had like middle of the night, internet goes out because they're making software changes. But the Sprint guy uses a thing called a magic box. They tell me there's antennas in there and you have to point it to the tower, but it's only like 4 inches wide. And it's like, well, how can you fit an antenna, you know, in there? They probably have a rubber ducky in there with a preamp. So we tried that, and so I spent probably literally 15 hours on the phone with these guys in the last week. And the net result is their real tech people said, well, basically, oh, it must be Tropo that's causing your problem, because I would go from 6 megabits to second to like 30 megabits per second, and it would just change or slow down, or my wife would say, oh, I can't do the groceries, internet's not working. But it's limping along, but I want it rock solid. And the other thing is, the way I have it hooked up, I do not assign IP addresses inside of my own shack. You get the IP address from the cell provider. So that's marginal, because the Flex amplifier needs an IP address, and it can't really get it from the cell. So I have to have a router, which the MoFi thing is probably the cure for me. But you're right, the price was like $360 or something. And it's like, well, I don't care if it fixes it, but I can't use it. I found the weirdest things. They shipped me immediately because things are under the business account. Yeah. And I'm sure they're like $500 a piece or more is their magic boxes. And neither of them worked, because they have a deal where they have to know the MAC address, and then they enter that in their system, and then they download software from the cell phone site. They didn't have a way to provision those at the factory. And so I basically, eventually I called them this morning and said, well, how do I send them back? They sent me new ones and they worked right off the bat. It's like, yeah, because they set it up so their system would recognize these. So
now, was that the MoFi unit?
No, I can't do a MoFi yet because I'm too early. I'm not a T-Mobile customer. And I'm just sort of part of the migration as Sprint becomes T-Mobile.
Well, when I talked to them, I called MoFi today actually, and they said that the new unit they have won't work with Sprint.
I've seen that too, but I think that has to do with the Sprint T-Mobile merger. It might work if you were a previous T-Mobile person and in T-Mobile territory. But I don't have that many towers around here.
Yeah, the job I'm doing, the closest tower is 0.9 miles away, and it's an AT&T tower. So,
but your MoFi is good because it does, I think, have four little like rubber ducky antennas.
Right, so two for cell, two for guys,
and you can unscrew them and put in a regular Yagi.
Well, what I have is a Wilson booster amplifier, so I have an outdoor Yagi going into an amplifier. And then there's inside antennas that repeat the signal. So it's a 6,000 square foot house is what I'm doing. And so I'm going to need, it'll support up to four, Wilson will support up to four antennas inside the house. And the antenna will be about 35 feet up in the air.
Oh, that'll be great.
And then I'll use the MoFi device. And then if I need to, it's got four Ethernet ports. I'll hook those up to internal access points. So hopefully it's going to cost the guy about $8,000 or $9,000 to do this.
Oh yeah.
You know, by the time I'm done with all the gear, it's a lot of money, but they
Maybe the Verizon out here, I was kind of pleasantly surprised.
I don't want to hear this, Eric. No, no. I don't want to hear this gigabit up and download stuff. Forget that, man.
And it's fiber optic internet service. Verizon. Well,
it's the government. Come on. You guys got all of that shit.
50 meg up and 50 meg down.
Yeah, well, you know, aren't you glad we're paying for all that, Eric?
Your tax money well spent, man.
I was getting 0.6 up. That's why I called him. I said, guys, something's happening, you know? It's just changing all over the place. Where I go to a web page and it won't load.
You need to create your own Ralph internet service provider and then just be your own service provider.
Well, the funny thing is my son, a half mile away, they took his, there's a real clever service guy that comes out of Peoria. They took an extension cord, went to his front yard. They had the GPS signal there, and they pointed the thing towards a tower in Bloomington, and they got 50 megabits. And
Is that through the cell network?
Yes.
Wow.
Real close to where, but the difference is there's about a 10-foot rise here, and I can't see that tower.
Yeah.
But
You're higher than him.
When you said, hey, I put an antenna up 20 feet. Well, Sprint doesn't have an external antenna solution. T-Mobile does, and the MoFi is a way to do it.
You just got to move to Chicago, Ralph.
Well, I mean, they quoted my son some crazy thing like, oh, it'll be $200,000 and we'll run fiber optics to your house kind of thing. And
yeah.
There you go.
Well, I'll have the MoFi unit on Tuesday, Ralph. So if you're welcome, you want to try it, you're welcome to come and get it for a few days.
I won't be installing it
till Labor Day. So,
well, the deal is, since I'm a Sprint, Sprint doesn't recognize that thing yet.
Yeah, I won't work with the Sprint.
You know, ultimately, when Sprint and T-Mobile are together, and my site, if it becomes like a T-Mobile site, then I can do it. Do you know much about what they call channels? Channel 41, 25, 71?
I mean, there are all these different bands that they're using, but I don't know much about it.
Well, and then they were giving me a raft about my Wi-Fi, you know, at 2.4. That might bleed over to I think they're at 2.7 for some of their cell stuff. It's like, no, you're not allowed to transmit on Wi-Fi if you're a cell company.
No.
You know, but none of their people know what happens from the house inward. You know, from a hotspot inward, they don't know.
Well, they're just reading a script. They don't know anything. They don't know what RF is.
The thing is, they told me I can hit like *#*#*2238#, *#**#, and I can get into the diagnostic mode of their magic box, and I can see how many dB signal is coming in, which band they're using.
Really?
And just see, like, wonderful, neat stuff. And the customers never get to see that kind of stuff.
I bought a little
signal. Basically made no difference because it's an amplifier, and my hotspot was getting the signal okay.
I've got a signal meter I bought, and it's got an LCD and a little whip antenna, and it was interesting. I took the Wilson Yagi, and well, with the little rubber duck antenna, I was getting like, say, -70, -80 dB, and I could look at Verizon, I could look at AT&T. When I plugged in the Yagi to the meter, it was down to -40. It was just Yagi.
Just 20 dB gain, you expect.
Just
having
the Yagi was a huge difference. So,
well, and I think that for the average person, they didn't want you to have Yagis because people wouldn't know what to do, or they'd be transmitting high power in their house and stuff like that. And you and I know it's like keep it away from humans type thing. But the signal level that these guys are dealing with, because I could see, you know, we look at FT8 and we've got a -20 signal. They're like -3,200 dB.
Wow.
It's like nothing that comes out of a cell phone.
Huh. Well.
So, cool stuff. I knew exactly what they were talking with and, you know, how they were bullshitting half the time. And every 4 hours, they would give me a status report and somebody would email me or call me, you know, even in the middle of the night. We're working on your problem. Sorry you're having difficulty. We've escalated to such and such support. And never once did they say what they were actually doing until a guy called who might have been up the ladder, and he had some fancy jargon and snowed people, and they basically closed it and said, well, we can't figure it out.
I've got a cell-based camera I've been working with, and the company's out of Hong Kong. They don't have any U.S. You can email, you know, somebody in Hong Kong, and they work really good, but, you know, if you have problems, you'd forget it. You never.
That's so funny, because I ran into a company. Oh, I ordered just some, like, lawn decorations, wind spinner kind of deals.
Yeah.
And every letter they had, it was, like, broken English and incomplete sentences. Like, you guys are shipping out of New Jersey, but you guys are not a U.S. company. You're in China, you know. Yeah. So you have an opportunity to be the U.S. representative.
Yeah. So.
But it literally took me 6 emails to get a metric bolt from these guys. Mm. There was a fancy acorn nut that fit on top of everything to hold it together. It's like 6 emails.
Ace Hardware has metric hardware in their little bins there. So
I have a shoebox full of when we got a bunch of furniture, you know, and you got to put it together.
Oh yeah, I keep all that stuff. Yeah.
Me too. Oh, you're like me. That's why I have a separate garage. It's a hardware store.
I got all the hardware I need. So, all right, listen, I'm going to shut it down.
Trade hardware, because I have like stuff I don't need. I need somebody else's junk to complete it.
Okay. My kids are going to pull up.
Anyway, cool. I'm glad you're involved in that stuff, because
I'm not.
Well, I'm limping along, but I'd love to do like flex remote and be able to, because I think if I could, I keep hinting to Craig, why don't we just get in and do your station remote?
Oh, well, that'd be cool.
Do it because he can't win, you know, to tell you the truth. But when we did his first things, we were like in an RV with a picnic table, and some stuff didn't work, big deal. And then the first couple, it was like, we're in the shack and he spent his time fixing. And it's like, big deal. It just kept getting better till it was rock solid. So I think we could do it just for fun.
Do a multi-two remote. Yeah.
Yeah. And we can't do the hand signals and interleave and what we do to win, but we can get in there, because it could be a year before we're comfortable to be together.
That would be fun. That'd be cool.
So both my hot spots, the lithium batteries have exploded and the cases popped open. And, you know, it's like you can't go to the local store and say, hey, where do I get one of these? They don't know. That's funny. Good stuff. A neat side of technology. I mean, we understand all of it, but we don't really know what they're doing.
It's all FM theory.
Yep.
All right, you guys.
Hey Ralph, so you can get it. You can get a gigabit plan for $75 a month.
Oh man,
that's outrageous. I found somebody. There's a no data limit for. It was $129 a month for unlimited.
No, that's the connection speed, not the data limit.
Yeah. Oh wow. You'd run in your limit in about 8 seconds there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that remote ham radio, I don't think there'd be any latency with that speed.
Oh.
One gigabyte through the cell network or through fiber optics?
No, it's fiber optics.
Yeah, okay. That's different. So.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to go, guys.
All right. See you, Jim. Thanks.
Good to see you guys.
Take care of yourself. Good to see you, guy.
Yeah. Take care of yourself. Thanks, Eric.
Yep. See you later.
Bye, see you guys.
Yep.
Thanks, John.
Hi, everybody.